dare to allow anybody to be lost because he's just full of love. But again, his love only makes it possible for us to be covered, or for our sins to be covered. There are conditions attached to his love. And that's what makes all the difference as to whether or not you and I meet the conditions of his love. And Jesus says it like this, John 14 and verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, then do what? Keep my commandments. That's the condition for our sins to be covered and for God to bless us in a spiritual manner. It is that we must keep his commandments. We must obey his will. We must live by what he has taught us to live by in his holy book, the Bible. So again, Jesus says, if you love me, prior to that, he says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And then he says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And then he says, if you love me, he says, do what? Keep my commandments. So in order then for our sins to be covered, in order for us to be saved from our sins, in order for us to one day enter heaven, we must keep his commandments. So the Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 14, he says over there, blessed are they that do what? Do his commandments. What's the results of doing his commandments? What's the end results of doing his commandments? That they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates to the city. In other words, we are blessed people when we obey the Lord's will. And that blessing will ultimately have its fruition in our lives when we get to heaven. So there is no covering our sins without obedience. There's no getting into heaven without obedience. So the love of God alone does not cover our sins. We must combine God's love with our obedience. Paul would talk about, in another place, the obedience of faith. Yes, we're justified by faith. We're covered by faith. We're made righteous by faith. But it is an obedient faith. And that's how Abraham was made righteous. He obeyed God. He believed God and he obeyed God. And the Bible says it was put on his record as being righteous. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. So, again, many think that just the love of God means that their sins are covered and they're going to be saved. They forget that God is a God of love, yes, but he's also a God of terror. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11, he says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, he says, we persuade men. God has a side of terror. And because he has a side of terror, again, Paul says, we persuade men. And that's what he was trying to get these Roman Jews to understand, that you can't go around here thinking that because you were God's chosen people at one time and that you kept the law and that you were justified by the law, yet you call yourself descendants of Abraham. Abraham didn't have the law. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness because of his faith. Now, if you want to have God's pledge and God's blessing spiritually in your lives, then you got to take your eyes off of your flesh, off of obedience and deeds to the law, and put your faith and keep your faith in Jesus Christ by obeying his will. And when you do that, you'll be counted righteous, and your sins will be covered. So I say to us tonight, let's not make a mistake in thinking that just the blood of a or rather just the love of God alone will cover our sins. God's punishment is severity. Paul would later write in chapter 11, verse 22, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God." The love of God alone will not cover our sins. And then there's something else that sometimes people put their trust in, thinking that that will take care of their sin problem in their lives and make them acceptable in the sight of God, and that is moral goodness. Yes, we need to be morally good people, but moral good people alone, or moral goodness alone, will not cover our sins. It takes more than just being morally good. There are a lot of good people, but not all good people are saved. If goodness alone was all right, then Cornelius would have been saved without sending men to Joppa. He was a morally good man. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 22 that he had a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews. They knew about this man, that he was a good man, a morally sound good man, if you will. And you can read about him in Acts chapter 10 that talks about his moral goodness. You know the story, don't you? Well, let's just read it. Acts chapter 10 in verse number 1, beginning, the Bible says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man." That sounds like a good man, doesn't it? "One that feared God with all his house." Sounds like a very good man, doesn't it? "Which gave much alms to the people." A good man. "Prayed to God always." A good man. But then the Bible says he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." Here is this morally good man, but yet he is told to send men and get Peter, who's going to tell him what he needs to do. What he needs to do for what? He's a good man. Well, when Peter comes to Cornelius, and of course he declares unto him the word of God, and Cornelius obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he goes back to his Jewish brethren, and he rehearses the story to them, and he says this, in Acts chapter 11 and verse number 13. "And he showed us how he had seen." Peter is now talking about what Cornelius had said to them. He says, "And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall" what? "Be saved." Well, you mean his moral goodness didn't take care of his sin problem? His moral goodness didn't make him right with God? His moral goodness wasn't imputed to him for righteousness' sake? He still needed something else to do to have his sins covered, to be saved. So he says, he'll tell you what you need to do. Acts 10 says what you ought to do. Acts 11 makes it a little bit more clear what you ought to do to be saved. Your moral goodness alone will not save you. He had to, again, couple that goodness with obedience. You notice the Bible says that he prayed to God always. Well, you know what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46? He says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" There was something lacking in Cornelius' life that he still needed to do, even though he was a praying man. So Jesus is saying now, if you really want to be covered, if you really want me to bless you spiritually in your life, then you've got to do this thing, be saved from your sins, and then you'll be blessed spiritually. I'm paraphrasing all of this. It says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" There are a lot of morally good folks that will call upon the Lord and refer to the Lord, but yet there are some things that are lacking in their lives. So if we're trusting in our moral goodness alone, we're trusting in the wrong thing. We've got to put our faith in Jesus and make sure that we obey his will, and our sins will be covered. No wonder Paul again said to these Roman Christians again, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sin are covered." David said that again in Psalms 51. So moral goodness alone will not cover our sins. But then there's something else that sometimes people may think and have a tendency to think sometimes that will take care of their sin problem. And that is geographical distance might cover their sin problem. What do I mean by geographical distance? Sometimes people say, "Well, I have a problem here, but way somewhere else, nobody knows me, my sin problem will be covered." Let us not make that mistake. We can't go far enough to have our sins covered. Because if we are in our sins here, if we travel to California and have not changed, repented from our sins, once we get there, we're still in our sins. We could leave there and take a jet and fly over to wherever. If we have not repented, we're still in our sin problem. And the reason why we're in our sin problem is because God is here, God is in California, and God is in wherever we fly to. The proverb writer said it like this in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding what? The good and the evil," or the evil and the good. So we can't get away from God through geographical conditions, thinking that our sins will be covered. Psalms 139, verse number 7 beginning says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." So no matter where we go, sin is still sin. The Bible still reads the same everywhere. It reads here in Huntsville, Alabama, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So no matter where we go, when we pick up the Word of God, it's going to still read the same thing. So we can't go far enough to get away from our sins. We can't go far enough to have our sins covered. And so the best thing for us to do is what? When we sin, repent. And again, we all have sinned. From time to time we do sin and will sin. And so when we sin, we need to repent in order to have our sins covered. Don't think, then, that geographical distance will take care of our sin problem. But then there's one other thing that I want to leave us with tonight. The passing of time will not cover our sin. You know how we used to do when we were young folks at home with mom and dad? We mess up, and mama say she's going to get us. And we're just hoping and we're just praying in our own way that I just hope if I can just get by long enough, she'll forget it. I'm afraid that sometimes we might have a tendency to think that about God. That if I can just get by long enough, God will forget about it. Well, I want to say to us that God will not forget about it. But let me say this before we finish saying that. Not only perhaps somebody like mama and dad or whoever it is that we sin against may forget about it in time, and that can't happen, does happen. But not only will they sometime might forget about it, but you and I, in the passing of time, just may forget about it. And when we forget about it, then we will not repent of it. So we need to be very careful. Again, when we sin, we need to, as we say, fess up. Fess up. Lord, I've sinned. Because the passing of time will not cover it. God is not like us. Though we may forget, God will not forget our sins that we do not repent of. Bible says he'll forget those. He'll toss them into the sea of forgetfulness, those we repent of. He won't remember them anymore to hold them against us. God is not like us. Sometimes, if enough time elapses, we just may forget about it. You know, Peter said this when he wrote to people in his day and time who had the wrong understanding about time. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, he said this, knowing this first, that thou shalt come in the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. All of this time, they're saying, has elapsed. And he hasn't come yet. Everything is still the same since the creation. But then when you drop down, Peter let them know that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Don't you let the passing of time deceive you into thinking that God is not going to take care of matters. So he says in verse number 9 in chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. You think he's slack. You think he's negligent. You think he's not going to fulfill his promise. He's not slack concerning his promises as men count slackness. But what's happening, because of all this time, God is just long-suffering, hoping that you and I would repent if we have something to repent of. Verse 15 of the same chapter, he says, we need to account the long-suffering of God as salvation. In other words, don't depend on it, but account it if he is long-suffering with us, that he's given us a chance to repent. The passing of time will never cover our sins. Only repentance, again, by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, will cover our sins. And then, too, as I talked about deceiving, just don't let time deceive you. It can definitely be deceiving sometimes. The wise man, Solomon, the preacher, as he's called in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8, verse 11, beginning, notice what he says. He says, because sinners against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. 13 says, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. You know what that is saying? That is saying that there are some folks out there, and when I say out there, I'm not talking about out there. Hopefully none of them are out there, as I look out there. But generally speaking, what he's saying is there are some folks out there that because God is, and I always refer to Brother Lewis Fletcher, because God is not zapping folks right on the spot, people have a tendency to be deceived that since I got by with it this time, I'll get by with it the next time, and I'll get by with it the next time. And so they just continue to do evil. And eventually they think, again, as I've already said, that hopefully God will forget about it. But he says, you need to make sure that it won't be well with them. It will not be well with us, brothers and sisters, if we keep letting sin in our lives continue on, thinking that God will eventually let us get by with it because he didn't zap us right now. Thank God, then, for Jesus Christ. Blessed, the Bible says again, in Psalms 51, as well as Romans chapter 4, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. How is our sins covered? By the blood of Jesus Christ. John says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Only through the blood of Christ is our sins covered. Not through the love of God alone. Not through moral goodness alone. Not through geographical distance. And not through the passing of time. Only through our repentance and our walking in the light as he is in the light. When we do that, it'll be put on our record, put on our account for righteousness, because we had faith and trust in Christ. And that faith and trust in Christ is demonstrated through obedience. May God then, as I close tonight, help us to live lives according to what the scripture, what the word says, rather than what it doesn't say. The word never said anything about being covered from our sins by God's love alone. Never said anything about being covered from our sins through moral goodness alone, through geographical distance, and through the passing of time. Thank God that his word teaches us how to be covered. So when we obey the Lord, our sins are covered. If you're here then this evening, and subject to the call of the gospel, if there has been error in your life, you need to have your sins covered. And that happens through repentance and confession. If you're not a child of God, have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, your sins can only be covered by hearing and believing the gospel, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, being buried in the water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, your sins will be covered. The Lord will add you to his church. And keep on walking in the light as he is in the light. If you need to confess over there in the way, we encourage you to come. If you need prayer, we encourage you to come. While we're standing, while we're singing, would you come? Walking in song. over the mountain.